This is Mark Cyrus, a.k.a. King Kong Cyrus. You can find me live every Saturday night at 8 p.m. Beltamania on YouTube. But right now, you're tuned in to Kings of the Ring.
You're listening to the Kings of the Ring Podcast Network.
This is Steve Tatai, the writer-director of the ultimate pro wrestling saga, Kings of the Ring. Fallout continues from the death of Charlie Gotch, as we not only learn Charlie never raped Julian's mom and they had an affair, but that Charlie is Julian's biological father. And then at Charlie's funeral, 2 decades of fury were seemingly dashed away when Julian shocked everybody by not only showing up, but praised his arch enemy. We're going to get some more answers from Julian on this, more fallout from Charlie's death, but also the funeral itself. The All-South Boys return to the Chicken Coop, return of an old friend of Jesse James, and a very important Empire show at Madison Square Garden. And Vance Armstrong finally meets Thor Hansen. Kings of the Ring is intended for mature audiences. Today's episode will be rated MA for profanity, drug use, sexual dialogue, and sexual situations. All right, sex and drugs are back on the menu. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Kings of the Ring. The hugely muscled back looks familiar at this gym underneath a thin tank top. At one time, this guy headlined Reunion Arena in Dallas, taking Diamond Donnie Gold to the limits. But these days, the golden hair is back to dark brown, and the thick mustache is back, as the Apollo Samson we once knew is gone. These days, he not only works here, but he's back to being...
Lodge Crush Main Street Gym.
Ian Streeter, please.
This is he.
Ian, it's Jesse James. I got this number from the Rockoffs.
Oh, how are you doing, Jesse? It's been a while. Not since we finished training and I got picked for All South.
Yes, sir. Now, you watching us on Saturday nights on WBBS?
No, I haven't. I haven't been watching anything, actually.
Well, that's what I'm calling you about. All-Star Wrestling is red hot. Me and Donnie Gold are selling out arenas wherever we go. You got a new outfit called the Diamond Club, and we're starting to run 2 shows a night.
That's exciting. Congratulations.
Now, you remember when we split all you Meat Machine boys up? I said the door is always open to come back and work for me. After y'all get some experience under your belts working the other territories.
Yeah?
I saw what you did in Dallas with the Apollo Samson gimmick. And I think you could be a big part of what we're doing now. You're going to have to work hard. Harder than you did with Burke. But I think there's going to work
out. Let me stop you right there, Jesse. I appreciate the call. But I'm retired.
Retired? You a puppy.
No, physically I'm fine, but, how do I put this? But I'm no wrestler.
I beg to differ, Ian. We trained you. You work like
No, I mean, I just can't do it. The travel, backstage, the boys, it's just not meant for me.
Huh. Guess that explains why you left Bert. I just reckon he drove you up the wall of some kind.
No, Bert was fine. Wrestling just didn't work out for me.
Okay, what you gonna do?
Well, I work at the gym here, and I work at Shopko, too. I'm doing okay.
Well, I ain't gonna put your feet to the fire, so, good luck to you, Ian, working at the shop, whatever.
Thanks, Jesse. You take care. Ian pauses for a moment, thinking about Jesse's invitation.
Ian!
Yeah?
Some guy shit all over the toilet again. These fucking protein shakes everyone's drinking now. It's killing our plumbing.
I'm on it, Jake.
Kings of the Ring, Episode 53. Thor Hansen versus Vance Armstrong. Nigel Davies thumbs through a stack of magazines from his first-class chair beside an empty seat in Louis the Greek when Julian Kane arrives and sits between them.
Nigel, I was looking all over for you at the airport. Did we get an official air date for our next MTV special?
Julian, they're not coming.
Why not? You drew a big rating for them.
MTV viewed us as a fad. Now they're moving on to the next one.
Nigel settles on a Life magazine and starts thumbing through it.
That was national TV. But we can make this work with someone else. Come on, brainstorm with me. Where else can we go, Nigel?
There are no outlets as big as MTV, this side of the networks. Now, if I may,
wrestling used to be on CBS in the Dominic Dante days. Maybe we can get on again.
CBS? I doubt it.
Come on, Nigel. Where's your spirit? Do you have any contacts with any of the networks?
Stephen Ashby. He's an Englishman who works in programming at NBC.
Brilliant. Get him to the garden. I'm going to get us on NBC.
NBC is the number one network by far. They're not going to put on wrestling when they have the Cosby Show.
True, but that's prime time. Late night is the Eddie Carr Show. They're not going to bump him for wrestling, especially after the Jimmy Buck slap.
And weekends are dead, other than Saturday Night Live. I think you should just stick with what we have with syndication.
Get Stephen Ashby to Madison Square Garden this Saturday night. I'll take care of everything else.
Very well.
Nigel aggressively snaps his magazine and reads it, gritting his teeth, while Louis the Greek pipes up.
Julian, why you act like everything normal? You no say a thing about Charlie funeral. Why you swerve everybody and put Charlie over? It make no sense.
The death of Charlie Gotch revealed to me, a side to me, I didn't know I had.
Nigel rolls his eyes.
What you talk about?
What you saw was me expressing the greater understanding I have. I am enlightened.
No, you buried this guy for years. You tried to drive him out of business for years. Now he die and he your hero? You sound crazy.
No, my only regret is I can't learn from under him, and my growing anger at those who hid the truth, who stopped me from aligning with him or letting him mentor me.
No, wait a minute. We tried to make you peace with him a million times. You refuse.
Yes, Julian. Does this mean you're finally ready to make peace with the Alliance?
Hell no. I'm going to crush them all, as I'm sure Charlie would if he were in my position. Nigel, you probably knew him best. What can you tell me about him? The man, I mean, he maneuvered himself to make his the largest territory in the Alliance, all under the false pretense of equality. That deception, that manipulation, is something I admire greatly.
You admire him now? I think Lewis is right. You are crazy.
I'm serious. How did he do this?
Nigel looks at him, studying him.
Why do you care so much?
I wish he wasn't dead.
You drove him to the grave? Now you feel guilty?
No, but my eyes are open. And from now on, I will tolerate no more insulting talk about Charlie Gotch. We will only speak of him in reverence.
We never did. It was only you. It was always only you.
You really are a piece of work, Julian Kane. I can't sit here. I'm going to coach.
I want a memoriam screen put up in his honor to start all of our TV programming.
You never acknowledge anyone exists on TV. Now you want a tribute for AMW? Fine. I let production know.
Just then, MC Jackson shows up from coach, affectionately nicknamed by the boys as Mid-Carter Jackson.
Wow, fellas. Nigel said I can have a seat. But don't worry, I won't be bothering you or nothing. I'll just be sleeping. But I do snow pretty fucking loud, and I fart a lot. So don't say I didn't warn you. Louis, switch seats with me.
Bo Rigg stands in a flannel shirt and jeans, talking to outlaw Jesse James in the busy locker room.
Sorry, boss, but that's four ribs cracked. Doc said if I don't avoid contact, they could snap right out and puncture my lung and I could die. Well, I could still work as a manager or something, though, right? But if you sub somebody in, I'll second him against Vladimir. I don't think that's going to work. Yeah, I still got heat with Vladimir for putting us in this predicament in the first place, so I don't feel like rewarding him. Just get better, Bo. I'll figure something out.
Jesse sees Bobby Lee Rivers across the locker room, acting a fool in front of Miss Kitty and Barry Lovelace.
Oh, shit. Bo, see Bo Rigg? Walk in all ginger-like. I reckon he don't go miss some dates.
Davy Boy Gibbons mumbles.
You don't have to. Put the Rock and Rollers in the spot. Second tour starts next week. Vladimir can't wrestle himself.
Barry Lovelace scratches his head.
Riggs is going to headline the Second City Tour? Reckon Jesse would have asked me to headline.
You know, I should tell you, boys, headlining a show comes with responsibility. As former world champion, I learned how to read a crowd, how to send them home happy, and to support the whole company. Now, as one of the locker room leaders, I should talk to Daniel about this. What you guys should
do... You serious right now, Barry? You're champ for 2 weeks.
That was 3 weeks, thank you very much.
You think that qualifies you to give us advice on how to be a top guy?
Well, yeah. You know, it's a lot different up there at the top. When you look down...
Don't take it personally, guys. Barry's just ribbing.
At the Chicken Coop in Tulsa, Oklahoma, spirits are sky high in All South Wrestling, which brings Gabriel Angel out for a rare appearance. The joint is banging, and he sees all the boys gathered around his brother Michael Angel at the bar. Gabe is intercepted by luscious Ronnie Miller as he comes in.
Man, you saw the pop when Michael came out to save you from the rebels? I mean, I know it wasn't as many fans as back in the day, but boy, were they screaming. Thank God Michael came back.
Amen to that, Ronnie. I love having my brother here, doing better than ever and healthy.
You see the old man's here, too.
Bert?
Yep. That's why I'm staying far away. I'm the only heel here, and I'm probably going to hit Bubba's before Bert notices me.
Gabriel walks closer to the bar, and right next to Michael is Bert Ironside. With a Kool-Aid smile and a giant mug of beer, he gets a full view of Michael and sees he has a girl in each arm. One in a tight cut-off Angel Brothers t-shirt, their arm inside his shirt, kissing him, while the other girl in matching shirt kisses his neck.
Goddamn, boy. You three need to get a room.
What the hell are you doing, Michael?
Meanwhile, in the AMW locker room in Fargo, North Dakota.
Freddy, what do you think about corporal punishment?
Great baby face? Good hand? Why?
I was thinking about telling Nelly to give him a big push, but I'm starting to hear things about him that have me concerned. Notice anything queer with him?
No? What do you mean?
I heard that he was a drug user.
I think a lot of the boys are, Dan. It's a different generation.
No, I mean, like, it was a problem and why they had to fire him in New York.
Wow, I hadn't heard that. I never seen him with anything more than a beer, some pot, and a few pills, but no drugs.
Okay, I just don't want to put myself out on a limb for this guy, and he's a junkie.
Sure, I understand.
I'll ask Nelly what he knows.
Knock yourself out, but I don't know how much you're going to get out of him.
What do you mean?
Ever since Charlie's funeral, he keeps carrying on about what Julian Kane did, trying to figure out what his angle is. I mean, he can't even keep his mind straight anymore. Plus, running AMW? Did you hear Shark and Buzzsaw quit?
Oh, no. I was wondering where they were.
Yeah, they told him, and Nelly was so messed up, he was just like, okay, guys, we'll see you in Peoria.
That's not good.
Charlie's death has been so hard on him, and now this Julian thing at the funeral? All just weeks away from our big Chicago head-to-head with the Empire.
I think we were all confused at first by Julian, but maybe the moment made him realize what's important in life. And that's the life God gave us all, and can be taken away.
Yeah, that'll be the day, Dan. We are talking about Julian Kane here, not a regular person.
Good point.
As Dan looks around, he notices Corporal Punishment abruptly sneak back in from the hallway, his eyes watery, and he wipes and sniffs his nose. The all-star wrestlers of the WWA are at Large Marge's Tavern in St. Louis after another sellout of the Kiel Center under Diamond Donnie Gold versus Jesse James in his special wrestling boot to sell his broken ankle. Most of the boys are loosely gathered around the bar when the Rykoffs see two familiar faces walk in.
You guys made it. Come here, Justin.
Some of the others turn around to see two jacked up guys with mohawks, baggy pants, and Gold's Gym tank tops. Shark and Buzzsaw, the Apocalypse.
My boys.
Prince Abdullah, trainer of the entire meat machine, turns as a big smile breaks out.
You have come home to the prince. We going to run two cities each night now. The prince will run the B show, and you will be on that tour. Come here and let me kiss you big bald heads and you stupid haircut.
Glad to be here, Abby. Tried to make it to the Kiel, but this dumb fuck partner of mine was trying to drive us to fucking Kansas City.
There's no way happened, man. You were in charge of the mail.
Oh, just shut up, Buzzsaw. Buy me a beer to make up for it.
Well, how come I have to buy you a beer? You told me the wrong turn. Oh, man. Bartender, give me two Budweisers.
Shark shoves his way in, shaking guys' hands on the way, when he spots Miss Kitty with her long legs crossed under her short skirt, dunking a cherry sexily into her glass.
Move over, Lovelace.
He nudges Barry to the side.
Here comes something meatier.
In your dreams, fish boy.
He moves in closer.
Come on, Kitty.
Rubbing his groin against her leg.
You heard you can't handle all my meat? Yeah.
She turns and whips out her switchblade.
Fuck off. I mean it.
What's your fucking problem? You only get your rocks off by nerds or something?
What did you just say?
You just call me a nerd. I'm a former world champion.
Just fuck off, idiot.
I know what you're all about, Kitty. I know.
Backstage at Madison Square Garden, the NBC head of programming, Stephen Ashby, meets his old friend, Nigel Davies.
Hello, Nigel. Nice to see you, mate.
What an awful scarf. What's wrong with you?
'Tis my tribute to Tom Baker.
Bloody hell. You still watch Doctor Who?
Of course, Nigel.
Come with me. Let's catch up.
Kings of the Ring will return after these messages.
Move over, Bacon. Now there's something meatier. Pure pork sizzling.
Mmm, delicious. It is meatier.
Pure pork sizzling. Swift makes it from leaner cuts of government-approved pork, and all that lean is all real meat. It's 50% leaner than bacon, so it's meatier.
Move over, Bacon. Now there's something meatier. Pure pork sizzling. Tastes great.
Move over, Bacon. Now there's something meatier. Pure pork sizzling.
Now return to Capitalist Pig, Kings of the Ring.
About 800 miles north of the WWA party, the boys of AMW have taken over a local bar in Fargo. A tipsy Dan Sanders drops another beer while Brad Milkins drones on when he sees Corporal Punishment sneaking his way to the bathroom. He shakes his head and stumbles off his stool and heads straight in to confront him. Inside, he sees Corporal Punishment punched over the sink, eyes red and watery, washing his face.
Everything okay, Jerry?
He yanks the cloth material roll from the towel dispenser on the wall and dries his face.
Yeah, bro. Just peachy. Okay, that's enough. Come here.
Dan forcefully pushes Jerry against the wall.
I know what you're doing.
What the hell?
I know you young guys are into these drugs. But if you're ever going to be a top guy, you have a responsibility to the fans. Didn't you see what happened to the Tarzan kid? He threw his life away because of drugs.
What are you talking about? Tarzan was my friend too.
I heard through the grapevine you might have had a drug problem. And now, I see it with my own eyes.
Bullshit.
I just saw you now. All red-eyed and jittery, washing the drugs off your face.
A man can't wash his face?
Sure. And I saw you sneaking around the locker room, sniffing, your eyes all bloodshot. I know some of the boys do cocaine after the matches, but you're doing it in the locker room.
I don't know why you're saying any of this, but I do not have a drug problem.
Oh yeah, well I saw an ABC after school special with my kids. It said, the first sign is denial. No one admits they have a drug problem.
I mean, I literally don't.
What about today?
I'm trying to keep this private, because my private life is my life, and nobody needs to know my life outside of wrestling. But the reason I was sniffing and red-eyed is because I was crying.
Crying? Why?
Because I just got off the phone with my mother, and told me she's got breast cancer. And I've been trying to get my mind off by drinking with boys. And I saw some old lady at the bar. It reminded me of her, and I ran to the bathroom to be alone, to compose myself. And that's nobody's business, even yours.
I'm sorry. I had no idea.
You tell me, Dan. Why the hell do you think drugs when you see me acting suspicious? Do I look like a damn druggie to you?
No, you don't. I just heard from somebody. Drugs is why they fired you in New York.
That is a bold-faced lie coming from Julian Kane. Now let me tell you about that motherfucker. He made my life a living hell because I got myself a deal with Hasbro Toys. Yep, I was going to be in the G.I. Joe cartoon. Me, Corporal Punishment. I was going to get my own toy line. I was going to be a big star and make tons of money. But because I made this deal, and not him, he drove me out and drove me out of the business. Julian Kane is a small man, and I was glad to be away from him. But I'm seeing his shadow reaches everywhere in this business.
Dan shakes Corporal Punishment's hand.
I'm sorry. I heard from someone I trust. I shouldn't have believed him. And I'm sorry about your mother. I'm gonna make this up to you. You'll see. But for now, just let me buy you a beer, Jerry.
I'll be out in a minute. I need a minute.
Cheese and crackers, Thor. Can't trust that big lug as far as I can throw him.
In the hallway just outside the arena floor of the world's most famous arena, Madison Square Garden, Vance Armstrong jogs in place, warming up for his match about to be announced, when the EWF world champion himself, Thor Hansen, walks up to him with hand extended.
Thor Hansen! Good to finally meet you, man.
So you're in the next big thing, huh? Guy who's gonna take my spot as champ?
Gee, I don't know about that.
I'm just ribbing, dude. But seriously, there's a really big night. We're completely sold out. Hanging from the rafters, baby. That means 25,000 people all out there.
Really?
Even though 25,000 all paid to see Thor Hansen, they're gonna be paying attention to everybody. Especially new guys.
Really?
He'll be watching your match tonight with Luke St. Pierre like a hawk. Just like I will. You know, I want to see if you can back up all the hoopla. I mean, you look like $1 million, but can this Armstrong guy deliver in the ring? And it ain't just the fans. Every reporter from the Pro Wrestling Digest to the Mexican Mags, the Gong Magazine in Japan, all at ringside.
They're out there too?
Yep. And all armed with the best cameras in the business to capture every move you make, every bead of sweat, and every mistake. Writing them down, ready to make an example out of you. Oh yeah, they're brutal, those guys. I went through the same shit, dude, and I've seen them ruin careers. Putting up a photo of some guy missing by a mile with a punch or a kick. Big fucking headline. Exposed. Wrestling is fake.
Vance gulps.
These New York fans are the toughest crowd in the business. I mean, no mercy. If there's anywhere you don't want to screw up, it's here. Toughest crowd in the biz. It took me like 50 matches before they finally took me seriously.
What?
Not only are you having to worry about the wrestling itself, but you have to worry about getting injured too. Or injuring your opponent. I mean, aren't you noticing injuries and pain in places you didn't even know you had before?
Yep.
But hey, the office says you're the best. So what do you have to worry about? You want that spotlight on you, brother. Like that MTV party you were at with Julian. All those guys are here. All the TV execs, all the celebrities, all watching Vance Armstrong. Hoping you could be as good as your reputation, which is like through the roof. That debut match you had with Lovejoy, people saying you were like a 40-year veteran out there.
Really?
And if you hit a home run tonight, national TV's next. There'll be like 30 million people watching you. You ready for that?
I don't know.
You know you're finished, right?
Yep.
You sure? Because I heard they changed it.
Wait, they changed it?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they changed it. I heard Louie talking to Julian, they wanted something different, but you'll be able to figure it out once you get out there.
I should find out.
Too late, dude. That's your music. Hey, don't forget all your spots. Remember, whoa. Holy shit, I've never heard the garden that loud before. Time to go, dude. Go, go, go.
Hang on, Thor. Can I have a minute?
Yeah, let me walk with you. You know, I saw your last match with Luke St. George. It was the shits. But I'm sure that won't happen again, right? As long as you don't forget your spots. I mean, you mess one up and the whole match is the shits, but what if you forget? What are you gonna do?
Watch out!
Vance runs to a garbage can.
Oh, come on, dude. Get your ass out there. I'm waiting for you, brother.
Oh, thanks.
Hey, 12 minutes. Don't forget the finish.
Julian Kane walks through the wrestler entrance with Stephen Ashby onto the floor of the sold-out Madison Square Garden.
It's electric, isn't it?
Yes, impressive indeed, Julian.
This is what the Empire Wrestling Federation brings to the table. Electricity. EWF reminds me a lot of NBC.
How so?
You're number one by a mile, towering over your competition, and always looking for new challenges and to never be complacent.
Yes.
Your primetime lineup is unparalleled, a juggernaut. On the weekends, you have Saturday Night Live, along with the Eddie Carr Show all week. NBC is unstoppable.
That is true. But what is your point?
Except in the summer.
We do quite well in the summer, even though it's reruns.
Yes, reruns. How would you like to break from the pack again and show who the innovators are in television and add new programming to Saturday nights?
Lon Michaels shuts down all production in the summer.
Yes, I know. So how about you put on this?
He gestures to the entire arena.
Saturday Night Wrestling in a one-time TV special at 11:30 on a Saturday in August.
I'm intrigued. That is short notice.
Is it? I mean, what are you doing now? A tape of Billy Crystal and Candace Bergman? No one will miss it. But instead, You'll have the biggest live-action star in America, Thor Hansen.
Now that is interesting. But I'm not sure the others will like this Zulu, that African bloke, that villain. But let me talk to my people. After all, we can sell commercials easier than with a rerun.
You'll get stars like the Man in the Ring, Vance Armstrong, my personal discovery, the hottest prospect in sports since Larry Bird. Watch this.
Hollywood buddy Mel Rose sits in his living room reading the paper like he does every afternoon, and he's greeted by an unexpected guest.
I got it, Carol.
Wonder who this could...
Freddy!
Hey, buddy!
What a wonderful surprise. Come in, come in. Can I get you some coffee or a beer?
No, thank you.
Oh, well, have a seat.
Thanks.
So how are you, Freddy?
I'm doing okay, buddy. Oh, we got this big Chicago show coming up, and... You know, I'm lying, buddy. I'm not doing good at all.
What is it? Are you unwell?
No, not me personally. It's Nelly. You talked to him at the funeral?
I guess, if you can call it that. I spoke to him for a while, but, lights were on, but nobody was home, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, it was scotch and Valium all day. But even without the drinking, Nelly's a mess, and it's affecting the show. His mind just isn't where it needs to be. With a Chicago show and all these Julian Kane head-to-head shots and with Charlie out, we really need leadership. It's like me and the referee struggling to keep things together.
I'm sorry to hear that. Maybe I'll give Nelly a call and see if I can pep him up.
Actually, I was hoping you'd do a little more than that. What would you think about coming back? At least until Nelly gets back on his feet, but we could really use your help.
Boy, I don't know, Freddy. I'm just... I mean, it was great to see everyone at the funeral, but I think I'm done with wrestling.
Really? Well, why don't you just stop by? We're in Rochester in a couple days.
I'm sorry, Freddy. I'm going to have to pass. Maybe lean on Dan Sanders for help running the locker room at least.
Oh, okay. I understand.
Just give Nelly some more time. It's like a mental overload, all that's happening, and then Julian's big swerve at the funeral. Everyone's acting a bit bananas since Charlie passed. It's a bigger deal than we all realized.
Sure. Yeah, we'll be okay.
The match has been a disaster. Vance Armstrong, bathed in a cold sweat, has looked completely lost. The fans growing impatient.
Let's go home, Vance. Go home.
Vance stands there, heavy breathing.
You all right, brother? Look ready to pass out.
St. George throws him into the corner. As he charges, Vance, instead of moving, gets confused and roundhouse kicks St. George straight to the temple, knocking him out cold. Vance falls back in the corner and says to the ref,
go on, count him out.
That ain't the finish.
He looks down at St. George, whose eyes are rolling back.
Holy shit, did you shoot on him? This ain't kickboxing. You have to pin him now.
Oh, right.
He covers him for the pin. Julian Kane, near the entrance, steps away from Stephen Ashby, who is politely applauding.
Now that seems strange.
As Vance Armstrong gets nearer, Julian walks up and says into his ear,
what in the hell was that?
I'm sorry. I don't know what happened. I guess I forgot the finish.
You humiliated me.
Thor peeks his head out and looks Julian in the eye, then looks at Vance.
Sorry, dude. Totally missed your match. How'd it go?
Louis the Greek comes across Vance Armstrong in the back, in the corner of the locker room, sitting down with a towel over his head in shame and frustration. Louis gives him a reassuring pat on his wide, muscular back you could show a movie on.
Don't be so hard on yourself. Everybody choke one time or another.
I got overwhelmed by everything. Thor was telling me what a big deal this show was, and everyone here.
Thor? Oh, no. I think Thor play a rib on you.
What? No, he wouldn't do that. He was trying to help.
Kid, if he play a rib on you, it shows he think you one of the boys. It's good. Cheer up. Welcome to the wrestling business, eh?
He pats Vance again, who starts to cheer up. Louis' smile turns into a frown as he walks away, glaring at Thor across the room. knowing what Thor did was no rib. Vance has even more obstacles than he did before. The outlaw Jesse James takes the long walk up to the top floor of VNN Towers, into the office of one of the richest, most successful men on Earth, and owner of the superstation VBS, Jack Valiant. The tall office is wood-lined with books and various animal heads on display, symbols of his various conquests.
There's a lot of people unhappy with you, Jesse.
For what?
Talking about that Jimmy Buck actor committing suicide by hanging on the telly. WVBS is a family station. We run Andy Griffith reruns, fishing shows, the Atlanta Braves cricket matches. You don't need that kind of chatter.
Jesse's not in the mood to hear this.
Jesse, you're a bee's dick away from getting fired.
Fired? How? You don't own us.
WVBS is part of the Valiant Empire. Most of my time and energy is spent on VNN and other ventures. So I don't dilly-dally about with WVBS. But the blokes who do wanted you off the air, as in cancelling the program entirely. But when I heard about this, I told them to hold off, that you and I have a relationship, and I'd want to talk to you first.
Okay, fair enough. But I was intentionally vague in the interview. It went over most people's heads for sure.
They showed me the tape. I reckon I know what you were on about. I mean, you're famous now around the world. You're that wrestler guy who slapped Jimmy Buck on live TV and killed himself.
You too, huh?
We covered the story on VNN. I admit I was a bit taken aback by this. You slapped that fucker into next week, mate.
It was all part of the act, Jack. It was actually his idea to slap him. Then he was supposed to get up and talk about our match. It was also his idea to hit him as hard as I could to look real.
True? Always fascinating how you lot do this wrestling thing.
When it was over, since it clammed up, I thought he'd double-cross me to make me look bad. But as it turns out, the boy was 2 eggs shy of a shithouse. His suicide had nothing to do with me. As his manager told me, the only joy he had was doing the wrestling with me.
Your interview on telly. This was your way of giving your side of the story, eh?
Jesse nods.
It was a right powerful speech, Jesse. I felt it. Reminded me of the one you did about your cowboy head.
That was the last time he visited our humble little operation.
Jack sits back and both men start to relax. Valiant pulls out a couple bottles of beer and opens them with his teeth and hands one to Jesse.
I noticed the name change. Used to be Southern Championship Wrestling. Now it's WWA.
We're trying to show we're bigger than the South. World Wrestling Alliance.
Crikey, I like that. Gonna take on that Julian Kane bugger, eh?
We'll see. You just need to take care of business at home first.
Right. Well, thanks for stopping by, Jesse.
He stands and extends his hand to shake.
And you're suspended for a week.
What? You just said...
I have a station to run. They wanted your head on a platter. If I let you come away unscathed, what are they gonna do to test me?
Jesse gets up, leaving his beer.
Oh, and Jack, the name of the sport is baseball. It's America's pastime. You don't know what the fuck cricket is.
Julian Kane sits in the stands looking down as they take apart the Madison Square Garden wrestling show. Louis approaches from behind, and Julian doesn't even look up to make sure it's him.
Vance Armstrong. He's a fraud, isn't he?
Let me just agree.
Louis, please.
He have physical skills, but it gonna take some time.
His first match was smoke and mirrors. Beginner's luck.
It could be.
He's not only the shits, but he's dangerous. You saw what he did to St. George.
St. Pierre, he just wake up with a little headache. No biggie.
He's not a worker. He never will be. I spun the wheel, didn't land on green. We move on.
Louis gives a pained nod of agreement.
There's a tape of that match between him and Brian Lovejoy from Calgary. Make sure that tape is erased. I don't want that match ever seen by anyone ever again.
Yes, Julian. But what now? You were gonna be your big hope for Empire Mania 3.
The sold-out garden says Thor is still the man around here. And you know, it's like he knows it. King's playing games with me. This look he gave. I know he still has other things going on, other secrets. But I still don't know where I stand with him. But I don't have much of a choice. It's him. However, I do still control his opponent. I've got an idea to sell out the stadium, but also keep him in line, and we'll see where he really stands.
Ah, finally. Who is he?
We're going on a little trip. St. George said he can get me that meeting with the Montreal mob. I'll find his opponent there.
Ooh, who is he?
The devil himself.
Who is it? Who's Julian Kane going after? Who is the devil? Can you figure it out? Today's deleted scene was Corporal Punishment's special payphone conversation, while King Kong Cyrus worked out his match with Brad Milkins. If you heard this, then you're listening to the extended edition of Kings of the Ring, only available on Patreon, and we thank you for your patronage. If you did not hear this, you're listening to the worldwide edition, and you are invited to patreon.com/kingsotr to not only hear the extended edition of episodes of the entire Kings of the Ring run, but you'll get early access and can even get a character named after you, plus you can introduce a future episode and other benefits. Thanks again to the entire Kings of the Ring crew and all of you listeners, and we will see you for episode number 54, Miss Kitty.